There'll be 10 good men and some climbing spikes, and I'll impregnate the bitch.
Welcome back to the Game of Thrones rehash. My oh my, things starting to happen here in the Sausage Hut dungeons. We're coming for you again, where only we can rehash Season 7, Episode 3, The Queen's Justice. It seems the Queen's Justice has finally arrived, and things have finally started to go where they should have been going for a long time. So, get right into it. And joining me, as always, is Kowski. How you doing, Kowski?
Astrovia, Johnny. Great episode tonight.
Great episode indeed. And it's always great to have you here in the Sausage Hut to go over it with us. So, to get things...
Great to be back.
Great. Impregnating the bitch from every angle indeed. So let's get right into the unrehearsed, pure raw Game of Thrones Minute.
This is Lancel Lannister, and you're listening to the Game of Thrones Minute with Johnny Kilbasa.
And now on the Sausage Hut Podcast, it's time for the Game of Thrones
couple
Minute
of minutes
with Johnny Kilbasa
and Kowski. Got a lot of things going on. This was almost like watching a movie, so I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it justice this week, but maybe I'll have to tell Mark Arum that we're going to need 2 minutes from here on out because there's so much stuff going on. But until then, let's just ring the bell of shame and see what we come up with.
Shame.
Dragonstone, Jon and Tyrion reunite. I think you were pissing off the wall, if I remember right, last time we saw each other. Missandei asks if you wouldn't mind handing over your weapons. Sansa's much smarter than she lets on. She's starting to let on. Jon's bannerman thinks he's a fool for coming to Dragonstone, and then they get to meet the dragons. The Red Woman hides on a cliff. I've brought ice and fire together. Varys and the Red Woman have a chat, and she's going to head to across the narrow sea. I will return... Once more, dear Spider, I will have to die in this country just like you. In the throne room, Danny gets introduced, and then John gets introduced. This is Jon Snow. He's king of the North. You're not guilty of your father's crimes, and I'm not beholden to the oaths of mine. Danny seems to be losing it a little bit. Davos plays hype man again, and Danny's not having it. Varys comes in with news. Uh-oh. Yara's entire fleet, save two, was sunk. Meanwhile, in the sea, Theon gets fished out. Meanwhile, in King's Landing, Euron is a hero, dragging his niece and Ilaria and Sand Snake 3 on a mini walk of shame through the streets of King's Landing. Straight to the throne room. I give you justice. Justice for your murdered daughter. Euron gets appointed head of the Navy, and Jaime asks for some love advice. Then in the dungeons, Cersei gloats. Oh, does she gloat? And the mountain looks on, and Cersei gives her the long farewell to Sand Stakes 3. Then Jaime takes his hand off to chill a little bit, but Cersei busts in for some kielbasa, and she doesn't care who sees her with Jaime. Uh-oh. And the Iron Back of Braavos is knocking on the door. Cersei asks for 2 weeks to pay up. Meanwhile, back in Dragonstone, Jon and Tyrion climb a cliff for a brood-off. Gumpkins and Shark they talk about. Snarks they talk about. Jon thinks he's just a northern fool. Dany thinks we should be examining what we think we know, and she lets Jon mine the dragonglass. You better get to work, Jon Snow. Meanwhile, in Winterfell, Sansa's in full command, and Littlefinger spins conundrums all over the place. Then at the gate, it's Bran! Bran and Sansa dip out to the Kingswood, and Sansa says Bran is the Lord of Winterfell. Bran says no, he's a three-eyed raven, and he's seen it all. Meanwhile, at the Citadel, Grandmaster expects Sam's handiwork on Jorah's grayscale. Jorah's heading to Dragonstone. Then Grandmaster calls out Sam and makes him the copier. Meanwhile, in Dragonstone, Tyrion tells about Casterly Rock and its sewers where everybody can break in. Give me 10 good men, and Kowski will impregnate the bitch. The Unsullied take Casterly Rock, but wait, Euron's burning their ships, and most of the forces are heading down to... Highgarden, uh-oh. Oh, Highgarden goes down fast, and Olenna, her mistake was the failure of imagination. She says Cersei's a disease, and she regrets her role in playing it. Then Jaime will, too. Jaime lets her off easy with some poison, and right after Olenna chugs the poison, she confesses to killing Joffrey right as she dies.
Shame.
All right, Kowski, there was... there's way too much going on in this episode to cram into 1 minute or 2 minutes or 3 minutes, but we were all over the place and there was all kinds of important stuff happening. It was like we've been waiting for this episode to happen for a long time, don't you think?
totally agree. You know, we kind of, I think we're in agreement that episodes 1 and 2 were a little slow, kind of set the stage episodes, but this was just an awesome episode. So much good stuff going on.
Yeah, and we started off with a pretty big scene at Dragonstone. John makes it down.
Jon Snow finally meeting Daenerys Targaryen. So, you know, just after all these years and years of characters having no interaction with each other, we're starting to get the big characters coming together, the big players.
Yeah. Like all the setup is done now. We've moved our pieces around the board, and now it's time to start going for the end game. So Danny, it was great from beginning to end, I think. But John gets, they take their dinghy in from the big boat, and they're greeted by Missandei and Tyrion. They have a little funny little exchange there, and Missandei's like, "Oh yeah, would you mind giving us your weapons?" And they're like, "Oh geez, I guess so." And they and John and Tyrion talk about the last time they saw each other, which was at the top of the wall. Tyrion was pissing off the top of the wall, which is hilarious. And that must have been just about the last time they saw each other.
Yeah, there's a few callbacks to season one in this episode. So yeah, I guess that was it.
It's funny how if you look back, Tyrion looks so different in season one. That was so long ago.
Yeah, I was trying to refresh my memory on something here that happened later on the episode, and I just looked it up on YouTube, and I was like, holy cow, he looks like so much younger and different in season one, but come a long way.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and even Jon Snow makes reference to his facial scar, so I guess that's part of the reason he looks different as well.
Yeah, isn't in the book, didn't he get his nose ripped off?
He was like, I think the way they do it in the books is he was really like gruesomely injured and his nose came off and he was a mess. But I guess for the sake of simplicity of doing facial makeup, they kind of toned it down a little bit.
Yeah, it would be harder to believe, or not to believe, but it would just suck if he didn't have a nose. You know, that would just be awful. You don't want to look at anybody that doesn't have a nose. But I wonder if George R. R. Martin, I suppose that's all part of his thing. I don't know, you know, and who knows what'll happen when he finally gets around to writing the book part, or even if they're in the same place.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's part of the reason I think even like the direwolves, like some people are disappointed that the direwolves don't play a bigger part in everything. And I think that they just came to the conclusion that the CGI was just more trouble than it was worth, so that's probably what's going on here with his nose as well.
Yeah. So they let him in, and I guess and we go right to there's the red woman high on a cliff, and she gets immediately called out by Varys. Yeah. And Varys like, hey, why are you hanging out up here?
Down there to visit your buddy.
She was not looking too happy. She's like, well,
Yeah, so she basically admits that things didn't really end on good terms for them. So, you know, Jon Snow's not really happy with her. Neither is Davos. So she's deciding to get back out of Dodge, But, man, I love the final line she gave to Varys here when she's like, he advises her to never return, and she's like, I'll be back. I'll be back to die here, just like you. So, again, we got a red woman dropping a big truth bomb here on Varys. So, he cannot like to hear that kind of comment from her, especially after what the other red woman said to him like last season. So.
Yeah, it's like
a little foreshadowing here of what's going to happen to Varys.
Yeah, it's like all the red women got together and they conspired just to mess with Varys' head. The whole, like, hey, if you ever see this bald eunuch hanging around with kings and queens, just make sure you mess with them whenever you can.
He got his nuts chopped off by somebody way back in the day, so he really does not like
magical people. So just screw with him as best as you can.
Yeah, because it could totally be I don't know. Well, where do you think she's going? She said she's going. Where is she going to? Not Braavos, but
Volantis.
Yeah.
Is that what she said?
Yeah, and that
I don't know. Have we been to Volantis? What's going on in Volantis?
Yeah, Volantis was where Tyrion got kidnapped by Jorah Mormont.
The whorehouses. Yeah. So, I don't have any idea what she's going to be doing over there. I guess maybe just hiding and living out her days and letting things simmer down from her bad blood that she's kind of brought upon herself.
Yeah, and I wonder if there's any... Are there any... Maybe she can... I'm just wondering who, if she does come back like she says she's going to... Would she come back with, like, a coven of witches, like, flying with witch... Kind of like at the Witcher 3. I don't know. Oh, by the way, I finished Witcher 3 finally last night. Which
nice. Congratulations.
Thank you. And I went, I should say I just finished the regular story. So now, and then I went and got the two DLCs for it. And then I realized that there's a bunch of add-ons that I could have had with, like, there's four or five free quests you can download too. So I'm gonna be playing Witcher 3 for the rest of my life.
Oh, you don't even have to pay for?
Right. Yeah. So make sure you go check out the add-ons because you can download appearances and armor and things like that for free.
Yeah. Cool. I took a little bit of a hiatus for a while. I was trying to be a productive member of society. at least the productive member of my house. So I had to wean myself off of it for about a month or so. Just got back into it, so
good. Welcome back.
I will keep that in mind. Thanks for the tip.
Yeah, and I believe the choices you make, I believe have a way, like it ends a certain way depending on choices you make. So I don't know how it'll end for you. I'll remember how it ended for me, and then kind of go from there.
Well, if you got another 120 hours to kill, you can go back and play the thing.
Right. So I've got two DLCs to go through now, so I'm right back in it. But anyway, well, we're not here to. Maybe we should talk about Witcher. When you finish Witcher 3, we'll do a Witcher 3 podcast just in time for Witcher 4 to come out in a couple years. So back we go to Dragonstone. John, they go into the throne room, which I thought was hilarious when Missandei gives the awesome intro of the century for Daenerys. And then,
yeah, she's got like 10 or 12 titles now. She just starts ripping them off. And the unburnt, the mother of dragons, blah, 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 blah.
Breaker of change, rightful king of the Andals. Yeah, tons of them. And then you got Davos Seaworth.
He just looks over at Davos, and Davos just like, King in the North. Like, that's all I got. But still not bad. I mean, that's a pretty solid title. But
right.
Yeah.
That was great.
It took her like 40 seconds to get through all her titles.
Yeah, and then they have a great... I really liked this scene, you know, when you've got... People, well, they don't know each other, but Tyrion and Jon know each other, and I know you can tell Tyrion wants to give Jon the benefit of the doubt on stuff, and Daenerys is like getting sick of everything, and Jon's like, he's sick of everything too, you know, he's like, I don't want to play these stupid games with you, the dead are coming.
I was kind of watching this scene, and I was just like, I'm glad he didn't bend the knee, you know. But at one point, I was just kind of like, okay, Daenerys, get over it. He's not bending the knee. Like, she just seems like a little too obsessed with him making him bend the knee. Like, you know, for as righteous as she is at all times, like, just get over it. Like, he's there. Listen to what he has to say. Don't worry about the knee right this second.
Right. Yeah, he never even got to even tell her why he was there in the first place, other than, well, she was surprised that he wasn't there to bend the knee. It's like, well, I'm here, but I'm not here to bend the knee. And she's like, what? What? Nobody wants to bend the knee. But then luckily,
you bend the knee.
Yeah, you bend the knee. I didn't come here to have small talk. I want people to bend the knee. Don't you know that king's the throne's mine? So luckily, the only thing to save John's ass was Varys coming in. Yeah, I mean, do you got anything else to say about that exchange? It was a great exchange with Dan, and they shot it well.
It's cool getting to see those guys together, so I'm sure we got more to come.
Yeah, and it was cool how they were kind of spread apart during the beginning, and then towards the end of the scene, they all kind of got closer together, and they were talking. That I like the way they shot that. It was good. And it took that was a long scene in far as Game of Thrones goes. You know,
that's a cool throne room too. We really didn't see until this season, despite the amount of time we spent at Dragonstone in like season 2 or 3.
Yeah, I don't even know if they even showed hardly anything of Dragonstone. I'm pretty sure they didn't show that throne room.
Just that map room was about it, I think.
Yeah, map room and
dungeon
then,
or whatever.
Yeah, and then like one bath, the bathroom where, not bathroom. Well, I mean the tub room where the Red Woman took it to Gendry. I think that was in Dragonstone, wasn't it? So anyway, so there they go. And then Varys comes in with her bad news. We all know what the bad news is, pretty much. Like, oh, by the way, Yara's fleet got destroyed. Oh, okay. We didn't know the extent of it, and we come to find out that it was everything besides 2 boats, which is really unfortunate for her.
Yeah.
Quick shot to the sea with Theon getting fished out. I don't know who fished him out. Do you know who that was that fished him out?
I didn't recognize that guy either, but yeah, they basically just pulled him out. He's like, oh, I tried to save her. And the guy was like, if you would have tried to save her, you wouldn't be here now or whatever. So that was a really, really brief stopover for Theon. So that's about all we saw from him today.
Yeah, I'm thinking that was maybe one of Yara's people then. I mean, I think it was a Greyjoy ship, no matter, depending on which side. I think it was their side.
I mean, I assumed it was a Greyjoy, but I just didn't recognize him from, like, previous episodes or anything.
So then down we go to King's Landing, where Euron's just kicking some serious ass and drags the girls through the streets behind his horse, which was hilarious, and people are doing the mini walk of shame to the girls, and they probably like, who are these people? I don't even know if the people knew. They just wanted to spit on them and throw dung like they always do whenever they see someone walking through the streets. Oh, hey, there's someone walking through the streets. Let's spit on them.
Yeah, does that happen a lot? Like, do people get like, does that happen all the time? So
yeah.
It's like, this week, this guy really screwed up. We're going to parade in and throw crap at him and spit on him. All right. Like, so yeah, maybe that happens all the time.
It's like, cool. Man, I'm walking to work. I didn't do anything.
But yeah, Euron's starting to grow on me, and he had a pretty couple good lines in this episode. And one of them was when he was like parading him through the streets. I forget his exact words, but he says something to the effect of, "I got to admit, this is making me hard."
Yeah. To his niece. he's a psycho, but he fits in perfectly with the other psychos in King's Landing. So they go roaring right into the throne room on a horse, takes him right up, and he goes walking right up the stairs, right in front of the throne, and gives it to her. And I just felt immediate feel bad for Ilaria Sand and Sandstake number 3, whatever her name is, the hot one.
Yeah, can't imagine that's going to end well for either of them.
No.
Man, Cersei's just got that. Cersei just has the smug, satisfied, I have you right where I want you look on her face. And, you know, that's not what you want to see.
Yeah. And then Cersei appoints Euron the head of the navy, and he goes and stands over next to Jaime, who's the head of the army. And Euron's like, "Can I get some advice?" Oh, that was hilarious.
That was
that was my other favorite line from him. Because he's just sitting there taunting Jamie, talking about how he's going to be, like, you know, banging his lover sister. And
right.
Then at the end, he's like, oh, does she like it rough? Does she like it rough? And then he just throws in the line about, oh, does she like a finger in the bum? And I just lost it when I heard that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's there's no shortage of taunting in this episode. And so, Jamie, we go right from Euron taunting Jamie to Cersei's down in the dungeon taunting the sand.
Oh,
with
man.
Clegane.
Yeah. And
she is giving it to him hard.
Oh yeah.
And the thing I thought was kind of weird too was because, you know, Laria sees Gregor and all she can think about is Gregor crushing Oberyn's head. But at the same time, Cersei's sitting there talking about, like, oh yeah, Oberyn had him right where he wanted him, and he just couldn't resist taunting him. Well, taunting him was his downfall. And meanwhile, Cersei's just there taunting. So I just kind of was like, is this going to come back to, you know, get her in the ass? Because she's just doing a little too much taunting herself. So
right.
Clearly she's not not taking any advice or learning anything from Laria Sand's mistake.
Yeah.
Or Oberyn's mistake, I guess, technically.
Yeah, and she didn't have to, pretty much. At that point, and then she pulls a great move on her part. Man, oh man, she pulls it. She gives her a kiss, and as soon as Ilaria sees the kiss, she knows. No, it's the long farewell.
Yeah,
out of nowhere, it's a long farewell.
Yeah, despite not being present for that poisoning, she pretty much reenacted it perfectly. Where she just walked up, gave him a kiss, and then just kind of like wiped her lip at, like she did after she left. And it was very reminiscent of that scene, despite the fact that she wasn't there, but it was well executed.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, by the way, yeah, Qyburn figured it out. My resident mad genius here figured it out that it was. And then she was like, is it the long goodbye? Oh, the long farewell, your grace. I liked how she kind of messed up the title, but it, man, like, oh, what a great, I mean, you don't even know who to like and who to hate anymore, at least I don't, but that, I mean, that was a great move on Cersei. I mean, that was the heel move.
Yeah.
Of the century. Cersei's had some heel moves of the century. That was just another heel move of the century right there. And oh yeah,
yes.
And we're not gonna take her anywhere. You're gonna watch her die and rot. Oh, my god. We're keeping you alive. Oh. If you want to starve yourself, we're going to shove food down your throat. You're going to watch this. Oh, my God. And, you know, Cersei made a comment last season, how she thought about, she always had visions of what the bodies of her children looked like as they decomposed. And Jamie's like, you know, don't think about that. I think it was last season. So, you know, it's funny how, like, that kind of harkened back to her saying that, because now, you know, Ilaria Sand's gonna make her do that and watch her. And you can't blame her.
Oh,
you know, you can't blame her at all. I mean, Ilaria deserves it, man.
I don't remember her saying that, but I'll take your word for it. But, yeah, that makes total sense now.
Yeah, it was something you didn't even think about, really. Yeah, when I remember hearing it, but it was like, why, you know, it was just one of those just passing lines that you don't really think much about, but now I thought back to it. I don't know which episode it is.
Man, there's so many of those little things that callbacks and references to other things. There's just so many. I mean, you can't even keep track of them, but they do a really good job of tying things up like that.
Yeah, and they've totally, you know, they spent 5 years or five and a half years pretty much setting all that stuff up, and now all these, they have such a bountiful garden from which to pick self-referential lines from now.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like the Simpsons. They can be self-referential the whole time because they've been around 20 years.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's great. So nice job, Cersei. I'm having a harder and harder time hating her, but I'm going to love to see her die. But, hey, this is the way she's going. Maybe she's going to end up on top. Who knows?
You never know.
Yep.
So, yeah, so then she decides to go celebrate, goes and takes advantage of Jaime. Yeah. And at this point, she's just not even, she does not have a care in the world about any of this stuff. Like,
nope.
She's just, like, I'm the queen. I can do whatever I want. Goes over, starts taking advantage of Jaime. And then Jamie's like, oh, people can't see. Somebody's at the door, and they're like, oh, they can't see it. They can't see it. She doesn't care. She's like, whatever. I don't have any idea who that person was that answered the door. I don't think we've seen her before. But
no, but she was
didn't
hot.
Care if people saw her. And then she gives her the line, too, as she's walking away. She's like, yeah, we're going to need some clean sheets, too.
Oh, that was great. That was great. And then, the Braavos banker's here. Gonna have to talk to him. So they have a talk. Or the guy comes
so
in and they talk.
Yeah, they were just, kind of saying, he's kind of like, oh, who are we gonna bet on? We need our money. You owe us. And then what does he say? Well, she's like, she kind of convinces them to forgive the debt. She says, stay here for a fortnight. Lancers pay her debt. What did she say to kind of convince her against Daenerys?
I think she was like, well, what are you going to do? Are you going to back the Dothraki? And I just burned all their half of their ships. Why don't you stick around for 2 weeks and be my guest while I tear everybody to shreds, and then you'll start to get you'll get them. I don't know if she was going to give them all the money back in 2 weeks, or actually, you know what, she probably is thinking that they, you know, now knowing that we know they went to Highgarden, she's probably like, oh yeah, all the money I owe you, I'm on my way to Highgarden to go get it, because Highgarden, they had all the money, not anymore. But we'll get there. So she's like, just hang out and party in King's Landing for a couple weeks, and it'll all be good, bro.
Yeah. I bet that guy those bankers don't seem like they like to have very much fun, but, I mean, if I was going to stay there for 2 weeks, they'd probably keep him pretty well entertained, I imagine.
Yeah, she could have had Littlefinger's brothel fixed back up just for him. Although I think they asked him about that when they were over in Braavos a season or two ago, and he's like, I don't partake in anything. Anyway.
Yeah, another dude was, they were trying to get him a drink. Like, yeah, they're just the iron buzzkill bank.
Yep, totally.
First bank of buzzkill.
Yep.
So then we head back to Dragonstone, and Jon Snow and Tyrion are having a little chat over on the shores, or up on the mountain somewhere, looking over the shores. And Jon Snow doesn't really know what to do, because nobody really wants to believe him when he tells them about the Army of the Dead, so kind of trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah, and Tyrion goes up to the brooding cliffs to have a brood, and he's like, oh man, I can't believe I didn't see that coming. We just lost a bunch of boats. Ouch. It's not too, that doesn't too much good for my credibility. So then they have a little chat, and then Tyrion's like, what do you want from me? And Jon's like, we need to mine the Dragonglass, dude. And then he goes and talks to Danny, and is like, why don't we just let this dude mine Dragonglass so we can go kill these dead people? And she's like, okay.
Well, there's not really any harm.
Yeah.
I mean, it can't hurt to let him. Maybe it'll work out and he'll keep him happy. But there's another thing in there. She kind of seemed to pick up on the reference towards Jon Snow taking the knife to the heart. Because she's like, wait, what was it that Davos said to him? Something about taking a knife to the heart? And she kind of wanted a little more information on it, but I don't know. I think Tyrion was just kind of like, ah, it must just be a figure of speech or something like that. But
I wonder if Tyrion knew something at that point, or if he didn't want her to know, or if he just didn't know himself, you know, at that point.
Yeah. So, I don't know if we're going to... He didn't really want to... He didn't. Really, I guess he figured that, you know, trying to convince him about an army of Walking Dead zombies was maybe enough for her to take, as opposed to... Oh, yeah, by the way, I didn't tell you I came back from the dead myself. I mean, you know, just one ridiculous story at a time. Don't want to try to drop too much knowledge on her at once.
Yeah, and it was the Red Lady who... Why can't I remember her name? What's the Red Lady's name?
Melisandre.
Melisandre, yeah, who was actually there and could have been useful, but I assume that she left... I mean, I'm assuming that she wasn't there by the time Danny said they could drag or mine Dragonglass. I don't know. So then Danny and John have a little heart to heart, and you know, it's like this is totally Luke and Leia Skywalker type of stuff going on right here. You know.
Yeah. It is.
And she's like, "Oh."
Daenerys, she kind of starts to realize, she's like, well, nobody really believed in dragons either until, you know, the last few years, so maybe I'll kind of temper my, you know, disbelief here for a little bit. Not saying she was convinced, but maybe a little more open to what's going on, just kind of based on the whole ridiculousness of what's going on in the world right now.
Right. It's like, well, if you can believe dragons and you won't believe my white walker stuff, man, come on. You got dragons.
Yeah.
So then now we're good. Happy for Jon Snow. Okay, you can mine your dragon glass. Woohoo. So then we head back home to Winterfell. And Sansa's, she's looking like she's large and in charge. She's like, hey, don't these things need leather? Hey, don't, how much grain do we have? Hey, you know, do this, do that. She's looking good, feeling good, making good decisions.
Yeah, she's doing a pretty good job of, they're definitely trying to portray her as very capable kind of leader right here. But I want to know, first of all, where is Brienne? And like, if I was Jon Snow, wouldn't you be kind of like telling Brienne or somebody like, hey, by the way, do not leave Littlefinger alone with my sister at any point in time. Like, he gets way too much alone FaceTime with her than he deserves. Like, as much as nobody trusts him, he's always like whispering shit in her ear. He's always whispering stuff in her ear and just like,
That's true. Why would
he should not be allowed to be alone with her at any point in time.
Yeah, I wonder where she was. She didn't leave, did she? She's still there, theoretically.
No, they were there. There was like a group of them for like the first part of that scene, and then like Lord Royce or whatever is like, yeah, there should be some leather on these breastplates. It's going to be cold, and he kind of falls off and. I don't know, somebody else maybe falls off, and then it's, of course, it's just Littlefinger and her by, you know.
But we didn't see Brienne, did we?
No, not at all.
Okay, yeah. How was that?
That's what I'm saying, like, yeah. Come on, Brienne, you got one job here. Keep an eye on her.
She didn't leave.
Anyway. So at that point, Littlefinger basically kind of gives her some pretty good advice, actually, and he's just like, look, whatever you do, just pretend that everybody's your friend and everybody's your enemy and play it out in your head, and that way you will always see the end scenario coming.
And how fitting was that? I mean, and that was like totally as fitting as you could possibly get, because knock, knock, it's Bran. Ho, hey, what's going on here, buddy?
Yeah. Long-awaited Brienne reunion. He is making his return to Winterfell, and yeah, he did not seem very excited at all. And I guess maybe he, you know, has a lot of stuff on his mind. But she goes over, gives him a hug. Didn't even look. He just kind of has a blank stare on his face. I don't even think he returned the hug. And then he's doing. Then they go out to the weirwood tree, and it's more of the same. He's just like, "Oh man, I'm the three-eyed raven." He puts Jon Snow's brooding to shame right here.
He totally does. Yeah, any person, he's like, man, well, he's seen everything now, you know? I mean, he's like, I really don't have time for the sentimentality of our family thing. I've seen what everybody in the world has done. And yeah, by the way, sorry about the whole Ramsay thing. I saw that too. That sucks. But yeah, I got bigger fish to fry, sister. What was that?
You looked beautiful before you got raped.
Right. Yeah, that was kind of weird. That day in your white wedding gown. Creepy. Then we go.
So then we head to Old Town, and in no time flat, Jorah Mormont gets a clean bill of health. He's been healed.
Crazy. That had to have been the longest night ever spent by anybody, having your skin ripped off.
Yeah, he just got peeled the whole day. I mean, I wonder what time kind of passed there, but I'm surprised that it was already just like, okay, you're free to go, which, I mean, I'm fine with. I don't really need to see him heal up anymore, but that was a pretty damn quick turnaround.
Yeah. He just said, I woke up and I felt better.
Tan. Yeah. Ta-da, all right, see ya. Peace out. Give Sam a handshake, and Sam's reward is not getting expelled.
Yeah, which was I was waiting for him to get expelled right there. But hey, he gets to copy a bunch of stuff, which I think that was kind of it doesn't have to be all bad, because A, it's a much better than pooping scooping like he was doing a couple weeks ago.
Right.
I mean, I would rather be writing stuff down.
He loves books.
Yeah, I thought it was a reward at first, but I guess not. But then he's going to get to learn a bunch of things that the Grand Maester would learn, you know, or I'm sorry, Archmaester.
Yeah, I wonder if there's.
It's Archmaester.
Yeah, I wonder if there's some goodies in those books he's about to read, or if that's just them kind of emphasizing that he's still not really off the hook.
Right. But he needs to... He's cured Grayscale, so that's good. I don't know why we need that other than for Jorah Mormont, but who knows? And that was about it.
So then after this,
yep.
We head back to Dragonstone again.
Yep.
And we're plotting the attack on Casterly Rock, which...
Yep.
I thought they did a pretty good job here where he's just kind of like, oh, well, we can storm the walls. They're going to be ready for us. And I thought at first they were kind of splicing the two scenes together, but Tyrion was just kind of playing it out in his mind and showing how there was going to be a bunch of people killed and, well, we could do it, but it ain't going to be easy. And then he kind of another callback here way back in the day when Tyrion made a reference to how the fact that he kind of ran the sewers or whatever from Casterly Rock.
Yeah.
A job his dad gave him kind of as a, not really a punishment, but just, here's a low job for you to do. And so apparently that's going to come in handy as instead they decide to storm the rock through the sewers.
And they're successful.
Yeah, so there was another, I kind of had to look that up because he said something about like a wise man once told me he only needed 10 good men, and that was, I had to look that up. So the 10 good men, you know, Ramsay talked about his 20 good men a season or two ago.
Yeah.
But Tyrion's reference here to the 10 good men is way back in season one when they're heading to the Eyrie before he and Bronn really become allies. He's you know, with the Starks, and he makes a reference towards the Eerie being impenetrable, and that's when Bronn looks over at him and says, give me 10 good men, climbing spikes, and I'll impregnate the bitch.
Ah, so, okay.
That was all the way back in season one.
Nice call.
Probably episode like 4 or 5. I had to look it up. I cheated.
No, hey, that's a great call.
I knew I recognized that. I just had no idea what it was from. So,
mm-hmm.
Anyway, they take Casterly Rock, and then Grey Worm's like, well, where the hell is everybody? That was a little too easy.
Yeah, I was fired up there for a second going, yeah, we got Casterly Rock. And then it's like, oh, man.
So, yeah, then we find out that the rest of the troops are really at High Garden because, you know, Jamie kind of realized that their troops were going to need food. And I guess probably with the Iron Bank, they're probably going to pick up some cash while they're there. So they storm High Garden unexpectedly, and High Garden falls relatively easily. And I thought this was a great way to end the episode here.
Totally. And I don't know. So they kick High Garden's ass, and Euron sneaks up on the boats that the Unsullied took. Or wait, did the Unsullied sail there? I guess they did.
Apparently.
So they sailed there. So they had to go down and around like we talked about last week. So yeah, so they go and storm it. Oh, okay, you guys got Casterly Rock, but oh, we're going to burn your ships. And we took all the stuff that you'd want. So good luck with Casterly Rock. And the gold mines are apparently empty. I don't know if we knew that. Did we know that when Olenna talked about that?
Yeah, way back in the day, Tywin Lannister was talking about the kind of when they started introducing the Iron Bank into the story. Tywin makes a reference towards that.
Gotcha.
Because he's like, oh yeah, guess how much gold we mined, and she's like, well, I don't know, in ounces or pounds or whatever, and he's like, well, it doesn't matter, the answer's still the same. Zero. So anyway, yeah, they haven't had money for a while apparently. So but yeah, I really like this interaction with Jamie and the Queen of Thorns here at the end. As High Garden falls, Jamie goes to meet her, and he just kind of knows it's over. So they have a pretty good interaction here for the last, I don't know, 5 minutes or so.
Yeah. It was great. It was great, and she's all dressed up in black, and you know, it was a great scene for, I think she's a famous actress, but I'm not, I think she's like a lady, isn't she? Lady Diana Rigg or something like that. I don't know what she was in, but I think she was in a lot of famous things back in the day. So I think it was an honor for everybody. And it was funny how they took, like, what do you, well, Cersei wanted to drag you through the streets and cut your head off or something like that, but I told her we shouldn't do it.
Walk the same.
Yeah. It's like, how about some poison? It's like, okay.
Yeah, and she happily accepts the poison and realizes that, you know, she's done for, but that was the perfect out for her to, like, oh, yeah, here, let me grab that poison. Yeah. Sucks it down in no time.
She did. She chugged
it. Perfect avenue. Perfect avenue for her to drop the truth bomb on Jamie there at the end.
Yeah, that was great. And she's like, oh, no, I made sure it wasn't painful poison. It was only the good stuff. Well, thank you. Because, you know,
yeah.
I didn't know anything about poison when I killed Joffrey.
I was thinking Jamie might just like put a sword through her or something right there to give her a little more pain.
Yeah.
But she ate that up and she played it perfectly. She played it a little slow, and then she's just like, and that's why I killed Joffrey, and he just his jaw, he didn't literally drop there, but he was oh my God, you bitch.
Yeah.
So, and he just kind of storms out of the room to end the episode, which I just thought that was that
was a great way to end that.
It was great way to end. Great episode. I mean, go ahead.
So many things happening here. Just like finally getting the pieces coming together. I mean, there's just beginning to end awesome stuff going on here.
Yeah, I know other episodes have been great for their own reasons, but this was just magnificent in like the big things that have just been waiting and waiting and waiting to happen. I mean, now pretty much I think we got to have big things from here on out, you know? I mean, there's nothing left to do except big things. Like, we can't just go having a garden. We're never having another garden party. Yeah, we're never having a buddy road trip anywhere. It's nothing but fighting it out from here on out.
We're not going to have any, no more Miss Sunday Grey Worm love scenes.
No.
You just look at this whole episode, there's just nothing but good scenes in here. So,
yeah.
I don't know. We probably missed some small little cool details in here, but just beginning to end, awesome.
It was totally all, and it's going to be like, yeah. And it's funny how every season they do this too. Every season it's like it's always what about the dead? What about the dead? What about the dead? And they just lull us to sleep. It's like you might see the dead early in the season and then you just don't see them, you know, you're not seeing them. We didn't see the dead. We haven't seen the dead, but at least they talked about them this time.
Yeah.
So,
I wonder if they Jon Snow kind of feels like he's gotta prove it to somebody. So I don't know what he can do to kind of prove it. If they gotta go kidnap a white or something, or what they gotta do. But
send an envoy. Maybe they'll take an envoy back if he gets back. But man, I don't know, man. Oh, and I wonder what Jorah, you know, why Jorah's going to have to be doing some big things, I think, you know, for him to come rolling back. I'm cured. I'm back and I'm over here.
He's got to have a role to play.
He totally does. So I can't wait.
To come.
Yeah, the worst to come. And it ain't looking good for Danny right now. I mean, it's looking great for Jamie and Cersei just flipped the script on everybody. You know, like, what was it, last week or 2 weeks ago, they were looking pretty bad. They were looking like they didn't have anything going for them. And then Euron showed up, and all of a sudden, they've got the upper hand on everything now.
They flipped the script pretty quickly.
Yeah, the Unsullied are essentially stuck in Casterly Rock. Daenerys is all she had. Are the Dothraki protecting her, I'm assuming, back at Dragonstone? They got to be somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure they got some forces back there. I can't imagine they just hung her out to dry, but
yeah, I mean, they don't have much at all, except now they've got the North, but the North is way up north, so as we're going into, well, this is round two. After two rounds, just about, you got to say that Team Cersei's won two rounds.
Yeah,
and there,
maybe even a 10-8 round in there.
Yeah, 10-8, total 10-8 round with a knockdown or maybe two knockdowns.
Yeah, round one was definitely 10-8.
They're looking good. They're looking real good all of a sudden. And there's no naval. There's nothing. There's no boats left. I mean, nobody's got a navy that we don't know about, do they?
You're right.
As long as Euron's ruling the seas, I don't think anybody else. I can't think of anybody else who might show up with a navy. John doesn't have a navy. The dead don't have a navy.
No.
Danny has no more navy.
Yeah.
I mean, what's going to happen? What is going to happen? I can't wait. Can't wait.
Yeah, well, we knew Cersei wasn't going to go down without a fight.
Yeah. And she started swinging hard. And Euron came in, man. He's looking good. But you can't count Theon out.
Yeah, Euron's growing on me.
Yeah, Euron's doing
great.
You know
what his ship is called?
What is it, Kowski?
The name of his ship is called the Silence.
Mm-hmm.
and I guess it's in the books, he just cuts everybody's tongue out.
Because he doesn't want to hear him.
Yeah. So he's a little, apparently he's just like a complete madman and in the books. And you're starting to see a little bit more of that creep into the show, which is great. So
yeah,
we're 43% through. Can you believe it already? We're 43% through season 7.
I can't. It sucks, but it's great at the same time.
And we've got another 6 days, 22 hours, and 50 minutes to wait.
And I will be counting every one of those seconds until then. So I think that's anything else for the Queen's Justice?
I think that'll do it.
All right.
That'll do it. Valar Morghulis.
Valar Morghulis to you, Kowski. Thank you as always, and hopefully we will see you next week for episode 4.
Let's do it.
Happy Monday, everybody. See you later. From the Sausage Hut, Johnny of Kielbasenwerth out.